Hi, welcome to Not Another Marketing Podcast, where I'm talking to the founder of ThisIsMySouthBay.com, Eric Seropian. Now, it's a bit of a beginner's guide to local SEO, so expect lots of tips, lots of advice. This is a good one. Thanks for downloading. Now, for local businesses like hairdressers or accountants or furniture stores, appearing on the Google map is essential. Being found in Google based on your locality can make a huge difference to your store's footfall. Now, in this episode, I'm joined by local SEO expert and the founder of ThisIsMySouthBay.com, Eric Seropian. Now, he offers up a huge amount of tips, lots of advice, lots of insight on how to rank your local business in Google a lot better. Now, you can find Eric at thisismysouthbay.com, also on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, all over the place. Check out the links in the show notes. Give him a quick tap and head over and say hello to Eric. Now, can I quickly mention that Not Another Marketing Podcast is totally ad-free. I'd love it if you could give the pod a quick shout on social media, subscribe via your favourite podcast app, check out more episodes at jtid.co.uk/podcasts. Now, the first thing I asked Eric was to explain exactly what local SEO is.
Well, SEO is, a subset, or local SEO is a subset of SEO. So yeah. When you're talking about, for example, I live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And if you do, let's say, for instance, you said a hairdresser in Los Angeles, we have 25 million people living in Los Angeles.
So a lot of hairdressers.
Exactly. And it's a huge territory.
Yeah.
And so what you want to do is you want to bring it down to, let's say, a particular neighborhood. Let's say, for example, if you're in the West Side, let's say you're a hairdresser in Beverly Hills, yeah, or in Santa Monica. You can literally optimize for hairdresser Beverly Hills.
Right.
Hairdresser, etc. So you can go after geo-targeting the keywords.
Because SEO has changed a lot, hasn't it, over the years? An awful lot. And it's particularly when we look at local SEO, do you think it's less about words and phrases and more about the GPS chip and the telephone?
Well, it's a combination of things. So what Google, the secret sauce, so to speak, for Google is that it's user-centric.
Right.
So there have been other search engines that have come and gone that have failed to see this. They've been more advertiser-centric.
Sure.
And so let's say, for example, I'm on Google and I'm typing in mechanic near me, and it gives me a mechanic that's, 500 miles away.
Sure.
Or on the other coast. And so what happens is if I keep getting search results that are not what I'm looking for, then I'm going to be open to using another search engine at some point.
Yeah.
So what Google's trying to do is it's trying to give the best possible user experience. And so one of the ways is to make sure that if you're looking for a local business, if you type in, French restaurant, and you have restaurants that pop up that are, 5 hours away, 10 hours away by car or by plane, it doesn't help your cause. And you get frustrated. And you don't get frustrated with the website that you went to. You are frustrated as the user with the search engine that wasted your time with these results.
Yeah.
And so Google is, first of all, trying geographically if it's a local business. It locks in on your IP address. If you're logged into your Facebook, your Gmail, etc., is trying to triangulate where you're at.
Sure.
So that's the first thing. The second thing, obviously, is making sure that the keyword that the user is searching for matches the website that they're sending the user to.
Do we need a website, though? The reason I ask this question is that I see a lot of small businesses nowadays with just, and when I say small ones, I think really small ones, like we mentioned hairdressers and things like that, and they've just got maybe a Facebook page. In fact, there's a barber not far from me, and he runs his entire business on a Facebook page, Instagram page, and there's no phone. Everything is through Facebook Messenger, Instagram Messenger. So can we still rank okay in Google if we've just got a Facebook page for our business? Do we need a website?
Well, it's difficult to, you know, do digital marketing without a website.
Sure.
So you will need a website, at least a landing page. If the client doesn't believe in, you know, websites, then you know, they can stick to social media. The good thing about you know, when you have your website, it's yours, as opposed to there are you know, these platforms out there on social media, for instance, where you're part of the Facebook network or the Instagram network or Twitter, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so if you have a problem with Facebook or you have a problem with one of them and they shut you down or something happens, then that's going to impact your business. And for example, with Facebook, years ago, they changed their policy where if it's a business, if it's a fan page, if you want your ads, if you want to have your post be seen, then you have to pay money to get in front of your existing followers.
Yeah.
And so Instagram's kind of dabbling with that now because since Facebook owns Instagram.
Yeah.
And so things like that. So you want to be able to online, you want to create your own community, and that involves social media, but that also involves getting people on your website, gathering their email addresses, and figuring out ways to, you know, do weekly, monthly, quarterly email blast, and staying in front of clients in different ways. Everybody seems to be, you know, using their digital platforms in different ways. I've run into people that just communicate on Twitter or just on email or just on Facebook. So you want to be able to have a broader reach as opposed to finding people just on Instagram, for instance.
Yeah, it's kind of like eggs in one basket thing, isn't it? I remember sort of like years and years and years ago, a lot of folks would just have, their whole business would be reliant on Google search and dragging traffic from Google search. And if those goalposts change at all, it can really destroy your business, can't it?
Absolutely. And it's getting more and more competitive. The price for Google ads are going up.
Yeah.
Every day there are new websites that are being launched that want to be, you know, in a particular part of Google search. And so it takes years to for some of these industries. Local, it's easier because you're not competing with the world.
True.
Like if you were selling, let's say, t-shirts online, you're competing with the world. You're competing from anywhere from companies in the United States and UK and China and, you know, everywhere. But when you bring it down to a local service or product, let's say a restaurant in Los Angeles is not competing with a restaurant in New York City.
Sure.
They're just, you know, you're going to be within your geography. Back in the day, I used to help my mom with her campaign, and she was a real estate agent.
Right.
This is probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And so she was competing with probably, I don't know, 50 or 100 real estate agents within a certain radius. And that's it. And so it becomes easier if you're doing digital marketing on a local level and you're doing it aggressively, you know, you can bump off the competition much easier.
So we've got a nice website. What sort of strategies do we need to kind of put in place to be able to rank locally, very locally?
So the first thing to do, the place that I always start before we start doing the campaigns is we want to make sure that the website is optimizable.
Yeah.
Meaning that when you go to the website, all the links on the page are links that are connected. You don't have any broken links on the page.
Sure.
You want to run some tests. You know, there are certain tools that you can use to run tests to see the load time on a page. Yeah. And, you know, again, it's about user experience. So if I type in a search from Google and I go to a website from Google, and I go to this website and it takes me 10 seconds to load the page. And on the website, there's broken links and pop-ups and things like that. It's not a good user experience. And I'm not going to blame the website. I already forgot about the website. I'm going to blame Google.
Sure.
So you want to make sure that the website is user-friendly, that it's a good user experience. And a lot of people, they overlook the fact that Google is ranking based on the user's experience on mobile first.
Yeah.
Since there are more mobile searches right now than there are, you know, mobile's been gaining and now has passed desktop.
Yeah.
So be sure to do your optimization, make sure that everything is working on mobile first before moving on to desktop.
I think one good thing to come out of all of this with Google focusing on phones is that it's helped us simplify our websites an awful lot in a way, hasn't it?
I agree. And you want to make sure that the you know, the files that you have are light.
Yeah.
You don't have big files that people need to wait. Because imagine, you know, your computer has more speed, space, etc. And so imagine those files now, people are going to be looking at it on their mobile. And so it's going to be a slower experience for them on mobile. So you want to make sure that you focus on mobile first. Maybe 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it was the other way around. But now, you know, mobile first. So let's say now we have the website built out and it's to the parameters of what Google would be looking for to optimize. So now what we do is we do two things. We do a competitor analysis and we do a keyword analysis. So when we're onboarding a new client, what we want to do is we want, it seems like especially local businesses, they have one or two competitors in the neighborhood that they're thinking, I would love to have a business like what they have.
Yeah.
You know, it's a, they're doing great and et cetera. So we can take a look at the competitors. There are certain tools that we use. One is SEMrush.
Yeah.
There's Ahrefs. There's a whole bunch of them out there that, you know, they're paid platforms. And what you do is you, what we do is we, for instance, we put in the website address of the competitor and it gives us a report on which keywords that competitor is ranked for, roughly how many searches per month there are for that keyword, and certain metrics that we can take a look at and see if we want to rank for those keywords also. And the second thing that we do is we run a keyword analysis for our client. We ask our prospect, give us 10 or 20 keywords that you would love to rank for. And so it could be, let's say, for example, if we stick with the same example of hairdresser. Hmm. So it could be hairdresser, hairdresser near me, perms, etc., whatever the, yeah, the keywords are.
Yeah.
And so that way we can target the keywords and try to walk before we run, meaning we're going to try to target the keywords that have a higher search volume and a lower competition rate.
Sure. Yeah.
And so once we start doing that, we can start to rank for the low-lying keywords out there. And so Google is going to look at our campaigns and think, okay, they're looking to rank for these keywords. They have these keywords on their website. They have landing pages and certain things. Okay, I'm going to rank them for this, some of these keywords. And then Google kind of sits back and sees what happens, because most websites have what is called Google Analytics.
Sure.
It's a platform that is free. And it shows where the traffic came in from to your site, how long they stayed on your site, which was the landing page, which was the top exit page, all kinds of data on, you know, whether they came in from mobile or desktop. If they came in from mobile, what kind of phone they came in with. Was it an iPhone? Was it a Samsung? Incredible data with that. Sometimes you get lost in it. Geographically, it tells you where they came in from and things like that. So if you're in UK and you know, you received 100 visitors to your site and 97 of them are from Russia or India or whatever,
yeah,
that's probably not a good metric. Something's
sure.
going on.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times marketers will send reports saying, hey, look, you received 10,000 visitors this month.
Yeah,
we're doing great. But is it converting? Is it something that you know, is working, or is it just spam traffic that's coming in.
Yeah, so, it's vanity metrics, isn't it? It's kind of like
exactly.
Yeah, you can have loads and loads of traffic and absolutely no sales.
Exactly. So we want to be able to inform the client and let them know exactly what's going on and where the traffic is coming from and which platforms. We just had a client the other day where we're running a SEO campaign and a Google Ads campaign. And for the last 3 months, 95% of their traffic is coming in from desktop.
Right.
So we decided to stop running the ads from mobile and just run ads on desktop.
Sure.
And so when I say the traffic, we have something where we can track the leads coming in or the phone calls coming in. We can see where they're coming in from. And the majority of the leads, the phone calls, were coming in from searches on desktop.
Right.
So instead of spending 50% of the budget on mobile, we moved 100% of the budget to desktop. And that even raised the number of leads and the ROI and everything. And so you have to be able to read the data and make sense of it and not react to it week to week or month to month. But
sure.
Over time, you could see that your users, the people coming in, are gravitating towards one thing over another. And then you can move the money around. You can see on Google Analytics that maybe for the last 3 months, you haven't gotten really anybody coming in from Facebook.
Yeah.
And you're spending hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a month on Facebook. And you can say, okay, I see that Facebook's not doing great, but Instagram is, or Twitter is. Let me move that money over here and let me see what happens.
Yeah, I think Google does kind of like look around, doesn't it? And see who's talking about you on the web, where those, I suppose that brings us to link building in a way, because when you talk about somebody on the internet, you tend to link to them, don't you? And that's kind of like the link building. So, I mean, leading into the question, does link building, does getting links from other websites still play a part in local SEO?
Yes, it does. Let me back up to the social media briefly. We run we run reputation management campaigns.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you're getting those Facebook reviews, those Google reviews, Yelp reviews, and we want to make sure, you know, there are certain apps out there that when someone talks about our client on a blog, even it comes up on our reports.
Sure.
And so we can address certain things that maybe people are saying. If it's a good thing, we want to make sure that we thank them for it. If it's a negative thing, we want to address it. The big thing with reputation management is that no one is perfect.
Yeah.
And you want to stand behind your service or your product. So when I go on to Yelp and let's say, for instance, I'm going to go to a restaurant or I'm going to go to, we'll continue in the same vein, a hairdresser. Let's say there's a negative review for a hairdresser and you have the company saying, hey, it's your problem, I don't care, or worse, not even responding to the negative review. It gives me a different feeling than the brand saying, we're sorry that it wasn't to your liking. If you come back, we'll figure something out or we'll redo it. Or the brand shows that it's making an effort.
Yeah,
and so I feel more comfortable with the negative reviews because I don't know about you, when I go to Yelp or Google reviews, I'm looking at the negative reviews first.
Yeah,
I'm not looking at the positives right
sure.
away. I want to see what the negatives are. And so all you want is you want to make sure that the brand is making some kind of an effort to make things right. And we all know that you can't make 100% of people happy 100% of the time. Some people are just going to be upset and that's going to be that. But if the brand is making an effort, then I feel like it's a different experience when I'm reading those negative reviews.
Yeah, I think if you have got that 100% five-star rating with thousands of reviews, there's something a little bit fishy going on, isn't there?
Agreed. That raises a different flag for me also.
Yeah.
Yes. So going to your question about link building.
Yeah.
So for your audience, in case they're wondering, link building is, let's say, for example, I write an article about John on my website and I give a clickable link from my website pointing to your website.
Yeah.
That is an inbound link. So the more links you have pointing to your website, the more credibility you're going to have and a better SEO campaign you're going to have in the eyes of Google.
Yeah.
So that's link building. It's one of the biggest parts of SEO that sometimes is overlooked. It's sure. almost like a popularity contest.
I think it's also really hard to do, isn't it? Which is probably why it's overlooked.
Yes, it's a tedious task. It's yeah. reaching out to people and communicating with them and asking them for a link or sending them an article and saying, you know, can you post this on your website? You know, all kinds of different strategies that I could take hours explaining about just link building.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where the busy company comes in a way, doesn't it? Because the busy company, if you are generally busy doing things, promoting yourself within the community, you're going to get talked about a lot more, aren't you?
Exactly. So it's almost like when I give a link from my website to your website, it's kind of like a positive Yelp review,
yeah,
or a positive Google review saying, hey, you know, I believe in this website. I like what they're doing here. Check out their website.
So what's the best way to monitor the results of all of this? Where can we find out if we're actually, if it's, I mean, obviously the till ringing, money going in the bank is a good way to monitor it. But are there other ways of monitoring this? What sort of stats should we look at?
Of course. The thing is, when I first started off, I have a contract that I would fill out saying that we're going to do this many blog articles and this many Facebook and yeah. Instagram. And I would lay out the work that we're going to do.
Yeah.
And inevitably, around month three or four, the client would say, you know, we're getting phone calls before you. We're getting phone calls during you. I don't know if frankly, there's a difference
yeah.
in what's happening. Yeah. Our social media has grown. You know, I would send them reports on, you know, third-party reports from Google or SEMrush or whatever, showing that the ranking went up. And
yeah.
and so, but they weren't, it was like, okay, I paid you this much a month, you know, 4 months into it, it's this much money, it's a lot of money, and we don't know, you know, if it was worth it type of a conversation.
Yeah.
So what we do in some cases is, you know, depending on the client, mm-hmm. We set up campaigns where we can track the phone calls coming into that client or the form fills coming in for that client from our campaigns.
Sure.
Whatever they were doing before us, that's not part of what we do. But as far as what we're doing from our work, we're able to track it. And so that adds a different element. I have campaigns that I do for certain types of businesses where I only charge for the phone calls that come in.
Yeah.
So any phone call that's over 30 seconds, that is a unique phone call, meaning, you know, sometimes people, they call and then they go, okay, let me talk to my wife. I'll call you back.
Sure.
And maybe they call several times.
Yeah.
It's only counted, that phone call is counted only once.
Yeah.
And so we just charge for that one, you know, per phone call. That way we can show we delivered, let's say, 50 phone calls to you this month. And out of those 50, 40 of them are unique and over 30 seconds. Now, you answered your phone or your receptionist is not good at good with customer service or your price is too high or whatever it may be. That's your concern.
Sure.
But we delivered
yeah.
These phone calls. So sometimes we do that campaign. A lot of times we show the Google Analytics showing the traffic that came in.
Yeah.
And that way we can, you know, we have all kinds of reporting to show the top landing pages that they came in from, the top exit pages, the top keywords they're ranked for, and show all kinds of trends for their SEO campaign.
Where do you think the future of all this lies? I'm going to ask you to get your crystal ball out now, particularly with local SEO, because, I mean, if we go back sort of like 10, 15 years, there wasn't really that Google map thing, was there, with the pins in it and the list of local businesses. Where do you see it going? Do you think the privacy problems that a lot of the big technology companies are having will stop local search being, I suppose, quite as clever online?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know exactly what the laws are going to be. You know, sometimes you have situations where something happens, it becomes a scandal, and then laws get impacted. My feeling on it, when I look back to see the future, because you can kind of look back in time to predict, you know, people's behavior. People don't want to pay a subscription for Google or for Facebook. So they're not paying Facebook a fee. So in exchange, they're giving up some of their privacy. Back in the day, I don't know if you remember, Facebook tried to do like a fee, monthly fee. And that way they're not going to take our data. And nobody, very small percentage of people were okay with that. I forget what the monthly fee was, but it was nominal. And, you know, people were not okay with that. So if that's going to continue to be the case, then, you know, these practices, I don't think are going to go away.
I was going to say, because particularly with the GPS side of it and the tracking on your mobile phone and the knowing where you are all the time, I don't know. I mean, if I walk from my little office here into the bathroom, Google will know where I've gone, you know.
And it's and how many steps you took and everything.
Exactly. and it's kind of like, I would imagine at some point there might be some sort of a kickback against that extreme level of tracking.
There sure might be, you know, and right now, you know, it's kind of love-hate relationship. Because it's nice because you sit in your car and you put an address that you want to go to and you hit directions on Google Maps and it just, you know, you just follow the directions and it knows where you are at all times.
And it's that's useful.
Exactly. Yes. So there are certain things that I don't think people want to give up. And so if Google Maps is knowing exactly where you are, it's also collecting data on where you went. If, you know, if you put in a particular address of a restaurant, it knows, and it's just collecting data constantly. And so this is the way that Google describes this is that it's trying to give the best possible search results and it is collecting data constantly.
Yeah, absolutely. Eric, I could chat for hours about this, hours and hours. Thanks ever so much for your time. And where can we find you? Where's your website and all your social media bits?
Sure. The website is thisismysouthbay.com.
Cool.
I live in the South Bay part of Los Angeles.
Oh, I've sounds horrible. That sounds an awful place.
I love it. It's
I bet.
It's home to me.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to have a conversation with me about search engine optimization strategies or thoughts that they have or any questions that they might have, they can go to my website and click on the Book Now button.
Sure.
And book a 15-minute consultation. I'll be happy to answer any questions or thoughts that they have on the subject.
Fantastic. What I'll do is I'll leave all the links and everything in the show notes so folks can just tap on those pretty quickly.
I appreciate it.
Eric, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Eric for his time. Now, don't forget to check out all the links in the show notes. Say a big hello to Eric if you've got some time. If you've enjoyed this episode, then you can subscribe for more on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, your favorite podcast player. It's all over the place. Just search for Not Another Marketing Podcast. Thanks for listening.